वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So, continuing with our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, chapter 17, text number 13. Chapter 17, text number 13. The chapter is entitled Descent of the River Ganges, which is a long prose verse. So I'll just read the verse and then we'll go on to the translation and purport. Text number 13. Yatraha devapataya sasvair ghana nayakair vihita mahar hana sarvartu kusuma stabhakapala kishalaya Shriyanyam Yamana Vitapa Lata Vitapibhir Upasum Bhamana Ruchira Kanana Shamayatana Varsha Giridro Dronishu Tata Chamala Jala Shayeshu Vikacha Vividha Nava Vanaru Hamoda Mudhita Raja Hangsa Jala Kukuta Karandavas Sarasa Chakravakadibir Madhukara Nikara Kritibir Upakujiteshu Jala Kritadibir Vichitra Vinodaya Sulalita Sura Sundara Sundarinam Kama Kalila Vilasahasa Vilavalo Lila Valoka Krishta Manodrishtaya Svairam Vaharanti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. In each of those tracts of land, there are many gardens filled with flowers and fruits according to the season, and there are beautifully decorated hermitages as well. Between the great mountains demarcating the borders of those lands lie enormous lakes of water, clear water, filled with newly grown lotus flowers. Aquatic birds such as swans, ducks, water chickens, and cranes become greatly excited by the fragrance of lotus flowers, and the charming sound of bumblebees fills the air. The inhabitants of those lands are important leaders among the demigods. Always attended by their respective servants, they enjoy life in gardens alongside the lakes. In this pleasing situation, the wives of the demigods smile playfully at their husbands and look upon them with lusty desires. All the demigods and their wives are constantly supplied with sandalwood pulp and flower garlands by their servants. In this way, all the residents of the eight heavenly varshas enjoy, attracted by the activities of the opposite sex. Purport. Here is a description of the lower heavenly planets. The inhabitants of those planets enjoy life in a pleasing atmosphere of clear lakes filled with newly grown lotus flowers and gardens filled with fruits, flowers, and various kinds of birds and humming bees. In that atmosphere, they enjoy life with their very beautiful wives, who are always sexually stimulated. Nonetheless, They are all devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as will be explained in subsequent verses. The inhabitants of this earth also desire such heavenly enjoyment. But when they somehow or other achieve imitation pleasures like sex and intoxication, they completely forget the service of the Supreme Lord. In the heavenly planets, however, although the residents enjoy superior sense gratification, they never forget their positions as eternal servants of the Supreme Being. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshu Mulitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadami Am Dadati Shvapadanti Kam Mukham Guru Divachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Mukhi Vadamande Sri Guram Dina Tarinam. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, as we've been hearing the last number of verses, and so very nicely yesterday, the descriptions given here of the higher planets are of the heavenly planets, because there's also higher and lower. But the description given here of the heavenly planets is quite attractive. And when you hear about the inhabitants and how they enjoy in such pleasing atmospheres, it certainly becomes something to strive for in the materialistic mind. When you imagine clear lakes filled with wonderfully scented flowers and fruits and various kinds of birds and aquatics, creates a very pleasing atmosphere, almost utopian, and for most people, at least in this earthly plane, it's unimaginable that you could live in such a place where one can enjoy for such a long time and in so many wonderful ways. Because as Prabhupada points out here, the inhabitants, although they're enjoying in so many different ways, they're nonetheless devotees of the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the devotees can also enjoy. It's not that as a spiritualist, one can't enjoy the senses. It's like sometimes the materialist may look upon a devotee or a spiritualist, one who's practicing spiritual life, and may consider, well, what is it that you do? Is there anything, what do you do for fun? But from these descriptions, we're seeing that there actually is, there is a lot of fun in devotional life. I think all of us can agree that taking prasadam is a lot of fun. That taking darshan of the deities, associating with spiritually minded persons or living in a spiritual community is has its advantages. You know, is a lot of fun. It's pleasing. What to speak of living in higher abodes here. But as was pointed out yesterday, and Prabhupada touches upon it here also, but as was pointed out yesterday, it all has to come to an end. There's a crashing end to it. That at some point, the notice is put on the door. It's just like if you have an apartment that you're decorating in so many different ways. You put in wonderful fixtures and you paint it in such and such way. You put so many nice seats, etc., etc. And you spend so much time decorating it, but then one day somebody knocks on the door, or you get a notice on the door that you have 3 days to vacate. It all has to come to a crashing end, as described here. So, the inhabitants of these heavenly abodes, even though they're enjoying in so many different ways, it all has to come to an end. But because they're devotees, but because they're, as will be described in subsequent verses, Srila Prabhupada points out, they're still remembering who the personality of Godhead is. And what is their position? The problem comes in, the trouble begins when one desires to exploit this material nature, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Aparayam itastanya prakritim virimeparam. Jivabhuta mahabaho baho yaidam daryate jagat. As soon as the living entity begins to or desires to exploit this material nature and forgets his higher nature, which is to be connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trouble begins. And as a result, one has to come into this material world and gradually becomes overwhelmed by the association of this material world to the point where he forgets, as Prabhupada points out here, the inhabitants of this earthly planet also desire such heavenly enjoyment. It's fact, because living entity is by nature anandamaya vyasat. We're by nature pleasure seeking. It's not that people go looking for misery. There's, unless you're not all there, no one goes out looking for misery. So the desire to enjoy is there. It's natural. But when that enjoyment is perverted, or when we try to we strive for some imitation pleasure, as Prabhupada points out here, which comes in the form of sex and intoxication, one completely forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And takes it even further. Kamaisthai starhittigana prabhajyante niyadevata. That when one becomes too overwhelmed by these desires, then he works like anything and approaches even those personalities who can fulfill those perverted desires. or thinks that by some mechanical means I can enjoy in this world. We're working so hard to make a comfortable situation in this material world, on this planet, or now we're thinking we can make by mechanical means a comfortable situation somewhere else on another planet. But all of this has to come to a crashing end, as the Srimad Bhagavatam describes. The purpose of the human form of life, kama senendra pratir labo jiva javata, the purpose of human life is not to just strive for sense gratification. We want a healthy life, just as here the descriptions given of the heavenly planets. It's very it sounds like a very healthy and enjoyable life. So it's natural we become attracted to those things, because by nature, again, we're pleasure seeking. Believing anity by nature is sachit ananda. There's pleasure there. It's not that again we're happy being in a miserable condition. No one likes to be sick. No one likes to be put in a disadvantaged position. But again, that's the nature of the material world. And as long as we're identifying with that, or as long as our life's goals are to do that, to satisfy the desires of this body and this mind, then there's no question of leading a healthy life, or a life meant for self-preservation. Instead, we get caught up in imitation pleasures, which again cause us to forget who we are and what the purpose of this human form of life is. Srila Prabhupada points out that it's the duty of the devotees, those who are on the spiritual path, the transcendentalists, to try strenuously to control the desires, this desire and anger. It's very difficult, so one has to try very seriously, because again, by nature, we're looking for enjoyment. But as long as the living entity is confused and identifies with this material body, there's no question of enjoying. There's no question of living a healthy, satisfying life. So for some, for most people, these descriptions, it would be it's just unattainable. It's not real. So let me just become let me just be foolish and try to enjoy in this temporary atmosphere. But that sort of activity, the Ishopanishad describes, andaktamahat pravishanti, that such persons whose directive in life is to enjoy in this material world, whether it's in some gross way or in some so-called higher way by worshipping the demigods, such persons are they're put into the darkest region of ignorance. It's ignorant. It's not real. Because again, at some point you have to vacate. You have to give it up. It all has to come to an end again. So, what is the alternative? The alternative, well, at least we'll read in the in subsequent verses here in this chapter. The alternative is to be engaged in devotional service, as we were hearing yesterday from Savasprabhu, was describing how important it is for one to be engaged in devotional service. And to make that so much easier, even though, for instance, here the heavenly planets are so opulent, and the residents are so pious, the personality of Godhead makes it even easier by appearing in those places in particular forms, particular deities, as we'll read later on in the chapter. So it's not that living in that an opulent situation can be satisfying without the personality of Godhead. Just like here in the temple, one may live in a very opulent setting, but what is the use if the personality of Godhead is not there? So in other words, the Lord, He makes it so simple. He makes it Himself so accessible in the Arch of Vigraha, or through His holy name, or through His words, or through His devotees. He makes Himself so accessible that how can we not become attracted? It's like when we're reading these descriptions, there's you can't help but become attracted. How is it that you're able to enjoy in such a wonderful setting? Well, it's possible when it's in a connection with the personality of Godhead. When it's in relation to Him, just as the Lord explains to Lord Brahma. What is that verse? In the Chatur Shlok, know to be that which is separate from me, know to be in darkness. It's one of the Chatur Shloks. O Brahman, know to be my illusory energy. So, the point being that if it's not in relation to the personality of Godhead, know it to be in darkness. So, if the personality of Godhead is not here, if devotional service is not the focal point, then even living in a wonderful material setting can be hellish. Devotees want to live in a wonderful setting, so because it's natural. And that setting can be wonderful when the personality of Godhead is the focal point, where a devotional service is the focal point. Just again, as Prabhupada points out here in the purport, that the atmosphere is very enjoyable. They enjoy life with their associates. But nonetheless, even though they're surrounded by all this, they're not forgetting the personality of Godhead. So that is the criteria. That is the test, not forgetting the personality of Godhead. And that we know it takes by proper association. By having good association, one hears about the personality of Godhead, is enthused to engage in devotional service. Krishna consciousness becomes a very pleasant process. But if that hearing and association is not there, then it becomes a hellish condition. We all have experience that there are so many opulent and maybe wealthy conditions, situations in this material world, but without devotional service, without Krishna consciousness, it's a hellish experience. In due course, it all falls apart. So we don't want that in our lives. So that means keeping Krishna in the center. That means keeping devotional practices our focal point, and keeping in good association so that we're enthused to engage in devotional service and not become distracted by these. Prabhupada points out in the Bhagavad Gita the Nanda Kanana gardens, how they're full of heavenly enjoyments. We don't want to become distracted by such things, knowing that at some point that notice is going to be on the door. At least, as was pointed out yesterday, at least in the case of these residents of the higher planets, they're given a notice, 1 year's notice, which would be actually after hundreds and thousands of years of enjoyment, it's quite a shock. It's just like when you go to the doctor and you know, you had some little pain, and he tells you that you have a terminal cancer. It's quite a shock. You have to give it up. So in one sense, it's fortunate that that notice is there. You know, now you have to do something to prepare. But at the same time, it's a shock. The fact is that it all has to come to an end. So at every moment, one should be thinking how to utilize the time properly, so that I don't. So when that notice comes, and there may not be any advance notice, but when that notice comes, that one is prepared. That's the real test. So that means again, not losing our intelligence. And become distracted by the material world and its variety of sense pleasures. That is a big problem. So this is a very nice section, and it will, as the chapter moves on, we'll hear how the residents are actually very advanced souls, and they're not just living in this phantasmagoria of sense enjoyment, but they're very advanced personalities. Which helps us to understand that engaging in devotional service, everything is provided. there's nothing lacking. It's also an indicator that when we engage in devotional service, in Krishna service, there's nothing lacking. Krishna will provide whatever the individual, whatever the soul needs, whatever that part and parcel needs for advancement. That we can have faith in, that Krishna will provide whatever, as he explains in Bhagavad Gita. But we're practically seeing here in the pages of Bhagavatam that Krishna provides as long as Krishna is the center and not something else. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu? Yes? Yes? Still within the material universe. But they're very opulent. It's just like here in L.A., there's, if you go on the north side here, it's pretty opulent, but it's still L.A. And you go on the east side of town, it's a hellish region. But it's still L.A. Still a material world. It all has to come to a crashing end at some point. Any other questions or comments? Done. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.